John Leguizamo is well known to moviegoers. He's played everyone from Toulouse-Lautrec in Moulin Rouge to Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet, and then the voice of Sid the Sloth in the Ice Age series. But he got his start in theater, and he's perhaps best known for his groundbreaking one-man shows. Leguizamo mines his own life for material, especially his childhood. He was born in Bogota, Colombia, but spent most of his life in Queens.
Yo, we were poor. Yo, we were so poor that crooks would break into our house and leave us things.
Leguizamo's most recent show is Ghetto Clown, and he returns once again to his teenage years in Jackson Heights.
And I get to the conductor's booth, that's how I used to talk. Bathroom length, north. Yo, we were so ghetto, I couldn't afford a TH.
A new documentary traces Leguizamo's career from his first one-man show, Mambo Mouth, through the making of Ghetto Clown. The film is called Tales from a Ghetto Clown, and it premieres on PBS stations this Friday. John Leguizamo joined us in our studio yesterday, and I started by asking him about the challenges of creating a one-man show and a documentary at the same time.
This was the hardest because, you know, it's much easier to get a point of view of yourself when you're far away in the past. Like when I did Freak, I was like a little kid till I was 16. So I got a great perspective on all that stuff. And then Sexaholics was still a little further away, but this is like right now, me. And to get the right perspective and the right sense of humor and the right self-deprecating jokes, it's tough because you got to look at yourself and you got to clown yourself. And it's not as fun when you're that close to it.
Did it make it feel more personal? Did it make the stakes feel higher that people would like it?
The stakes were high because I was revealing a lot of really close personal stuff that I was very uncomfortable with.
You let me down, man. You always seem to find a way to let me down. Dad, where's my child support? I never got that either, huh? And you never even played with me, man. Why did you play? You should have played with me. I'm a fun f***ing guy, Dad. I'm a funny f***ing guy. You never played with me, Dad. Come on, play with me now. Come on, let's play. Rock, paper, scissors. Come on, Dad. Johnny by a pony. Come on, some stick ball, some stew ball. Come on, can you think of something? Come on, Dad.
I was talking about having a breakdown, a meltdown, and I wasn't very comfortable revealing that kind of information, you know. I felt it was important for the artistic journey because I know I'm not the only one that's ever had one. I know lots of actors and comedians have had that. You know, it happens lots. The pressure builds up. Your expectations of yourself, you magnify them. You start thinking that the world expects, you know, greatness out of you 24/7, and you can't be short of that. And that pressure starts to build up, and you start to freak yourself out, and you can't. And it's hard to get on stage.
You know, I wonder, in the documentary, you talk about how affirming it is. You know, when you were doing the performance for all of the other actors, yeah. Ray Fiennes was there and a number of other people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you said that was so affirmative for yourself to do something that was so close to you personally and so difficult, but to have other people evaluate it and think that it was a good performance and think strongly about the material.
That was a wild experience. I had some of the greatest actors living right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, really. And they pan through the crowd and it's
I
like
I mean, it's Liam Schreiber, who's one of the greatest theater actors that you've ever seen. Ray Fiennes, who's amazing. I mean, it was just a cast of incredible people in a tiny room. And, you know, I couldn't have one fake moment. I'm revealing myself. It was really... But I didn't feel that much pressure, which was very beautiful. I feel like I'm with colleagues. We're on this battle together to do beautiful art and reveal the human condition. And we're a team. We're the Justice League. We're the Avengers. And so that made me feel really great that I felt that camaraderie and that they were there to help me. And I just felt like in heaven, man, like I've made it. You know, that was really beautiful.
Well, I mean, on a completely unrelated note, if you were in the Justice League or the Avengers, which superhero would you be?
Probably Aquaman.
Aquaman? Why Aquaman?
He has the strangest powers. He has the weirdest. He could talk to fish. Oh, wow. That's really powerful.
You know, but after you had done, I mean, you must have at this point done a ton of performances of Tales from a Ghetto Clown, not just in English, but in Spanish as well.
Right.
And I wonder if it got to the point where those personal memories weren't as painful anymore. Did it kind of make you, I guess, a little bit inured to your own past?
There are moments that happens, and then there are moments that I'm overtaken by it. And I realize...
Still,
I mean, you know, there was rehearsal times where I lost it, and I couldn't talk, and, you know, I was crying like a baby and I couldn't understand. And of course, I understood what was going on. I was revealing a lot of real personal difficulties in my life. And I had to tell the director and the crew that I had to walk away for, you know, 15 minutes and just gather myself. I'll be back. And that happens, you know. Sometimes I feel like, okay, this isn't my life. I'm acting in somebody else's life. And then sometimes I go, oh, wow, this is my life. Holy cow. Oh, my God, these things happened to me. Oh, wow, these were really difficult times. And then all of a sudden I'm in those moments or I'm depressed while I'm doing a run and I don't understand why. And then I go, oh, yeah, I'm talking about a lot of serious stuff that I have to connect with each night so that people can connect with me.
And my father just starts crying. And I thought this was the moment that I've been waiting for my whole entire life. I thought this was the victory that I wanted. But it made me feel so shit to make this old man cry.
Audiences have like a seventh sense, and they know if you're really connected and telling the truth or not. They may not be aware of it intellectually, but they know instinctively if I'm there or not.
I wonder, I mean, when you hear things like Rosie Perez, I mean, she has incredible things to say about you. Many of the people that do your
blurbs. Oh, I love her, man.
Blurbs. I mean, you are, as far as she's concerned, you are like a hero. I mean, Justice League, nothing. Yeah. You're, for Latinos especially, you are, you know, absolutely a shining star.
We had never seen someone depict Latin culture in the way he did it. He attacked subjects that a lot of Latin people didn't want to attack, like the self-loathing, the self-hatred, all these things that we all relate to but didn't have the nerve or guts to admit.
And I wonder if that's part of the pressure. Does that add pressure to you when you go into a performance like this?
You know, yes and no. You know, I think it all starts to add up. I think it all starts to add up. You know, it's not just that. It's, you know, are the Tony nominators going to come? Who's in the house? What's the review? You know, all that starts to add up and creates a lot of pressure. And it gets tough. And you have to, like my therapist says, you have to have tough skin, very tough skin, John. My therapist sounds just like my father, but on Xanax.
Your therapist
really weird.
Is Colombian?
He's Argentine.
Oh.
A beautiful Jewish Argentine man. I love him. I'm not going to give you his name, though.
That's all right.
Because then he'll steal time from me. He'll call him up and book hours that he'll give you less time. I mean, I find myself in a great place, in a much more generous place now that, you know, I'm getting close to mid-century point. And do people like Chris Diaz, who won Best Playwright in New York City 2 years ago, and he said part of the reason that he wrote was because he came to see Spikorama and he felt like I had given him the key.
So are there things that are off limit? I mean, are there things where you say, I want to write about this, but it goes too far. This is too intimate. It's too personal, or maybe too borderline offensive.
First of all, you got to be an artist. You got to write about everything. There are no off limits. Then when you're about to perform, then you got to go,
editing,
you know,
process.
Yeah. Then I got to think about it. Like, my wife was against a lot of things I was doing in the show. And so when she would come to see it, I would take him out. And then when she would leave, I'd put it back in.
Are you just saying that now, or did she already know you did that?
She already found out. She busted me. But and she told me to take it out. And I eventually had to take it out because of time. And I wanted to really be concise and economic in the show. And, you know, I think my kids are off limits. I really need to – she was right. I need to respect my kids. I don't need to clown them and use them as my material, because that's kind of a difficult line to cross. But everybody else is fair game. My parents, forget it. Family, friends.
I'm sure they appreciate it.
Colleagues. I'm sorry. No holds barred.
So tell me, I mean, one of the things you mention in the documentary is that you turned down movie projects in order to stay with Tales from a Ghetto Clown. And I wanted to kind of evaluate that calculation. I mean, because obviously for an actor, you need to keep your name in the business. You got to keep doing consistent movies, or, you know, you'll fall off the radar, right?
True that.
So how do you make this calculation of saying no to a project by saying, you know, I'm going to stick with this Broadway one-man show?
It's not easy, and it is. You're right. It's a mathematical calculation that you have to do in your head and weigh the pros and cons of disappearing for 4 years out of the movie business, because then you get cold, and you do get cold, and I knew that, you know.
Do you think it's gotten easier for Latinos in Hollywood?
Yes and no. I mean, things were going great for Latinos until the crisis, the economic crisis, and then the movie business started to suffer. And then they went back to they're casting now no longer about talent. Talent isn't the matter. It's who has box office, foreign box office, more than anything else. So it's not about talent anymore. And minorities suffered. They disappeared a lot from movies. But things are coming back, and I think we're starting to show a face here and there, because things were happening great. I mean, there were a lot of great writers, a lot of great playwrights, a lot of great directors. And it was all happening. And, you know, the crisis just does – Hollywood is just doing comic books and action films, and they stopped doing all the beautiful stuff that they used to do back in the day.
Well, who knows? Maybe you have a future as Aquaman.
Aquaman. That's right. They could bring that one back. I'm glad you brought that back. That was good. That was good. That's a comic mind at work.
The new PBS documentary is called Tales from a Ghetto Clown. Always a pleasure, John Leguizamo.
Oh, always great to talk to you.